Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Welcome if you're watching online or welcome if you're here in person. That's great and it's good to have you with us. And we are grateful for those who are maybe in hospital or are unable to attend and are able to join us online. So we do welcome you all. It's nice and toasty warm inside, even though it's quite cold outside. As we come to pray and open our service, I will pray for the family of Josie Watson. Josie left us this week. She's gone to glory and is much better where she is now than where she was during the week. So do pray, continue to pray for them. It just didn't come through quite quick enough to put that in the sermon notes. So it does say to pray for her in the sermon notes, but pray for her family, and we'll bear them in mind as we open our service. Let's pray together. Oh Father, we are glad to be able to gather here in your name, and Lord, we pray that you would make us a beacon of your light and of your glory. And Father, we do thank you for the life of Josie and that she now is with you in glory. And Father, we want to bring her family to you, all her children and grandchildren, and Lord, we pray that you would be a blessing to them, and Lord, that through Nathan and the pastoral team that we can minister to them over the next weeks. So Father, we thank you that you are with us. Lord, we thank you that you bless us and you bring us into your presence. And Lord, we want to reflect that and glorify your holy name this morning. So Lord, we do pray that you will be glorified by our worship, by our prayers, and by the songs and the things that are said and done in this service. And we pray it in your holy name. Amen. Okay, we are going to hear from God's word. First of all, this is from Philippians. Quite familiar verses, but when we think about having God as our focus, having God as the apple of our eye, this came to me during the week. So Philippians 3, verse 10, and it's quite a declaration. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So if you were to say that, that's quite a statement, isn't it? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So forgetting what's behind, I press on, I press forward. So let's bear that in mind. And the songs kind of have, every now and again, they have a little word that just really reflects that. And this first song, Great is the Lord and Most Worthy of Praise, just slips in there. He aids us against the enemy. So when we're focused on him, he will give us strength to fight back against the enemy. So let's stand and sing together. If you're able to stand, do that. And we'll sing. our next song, again, has some words in there that are important in the good and the bad times. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain sometimes. It's not all rosy glow, and we have to work through that. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. When our eyes are turned upon Jesus, then we can ask him to do great things in this place. And that's what we want. We want him to build his kingdom here. I'm just going to borrow that in a minute. Okay, build your kingdom here.
Yeah.
Dear goodness me. You must be out of breath after that. Please do take your seats. And there we go. It's really, really good to see everyone. And it was slowly filling up as the top, at the top there. So that was very good. As we sang Build Your Church, then the seats were filling up a little bit. So that was very good. I want to draw your attention to the notes, mainly because those of you who are coming in the sort of last few minutes might have a bit of an advantage over those who came in earlier. There was a second edition where we did have several items that were a little bit late for the notes, but if you've got a second edition of the notes, on the section which is all about the prayer times which are taking place during the week, you will have got in there in red that the Hope Church are going to host a Zoom prayer time at 6:30. So you can link in by Zoom. I will send the link round, and that filled one of the gaps. So if you are early, then you will have got a sermon note that's got a to be confirmed or something in there. And if you were in the second half of them being handed out, you will have that it's going to be a Zoom link for prayer. So that is really important. Check out that green box and let's get together and pray. There'll be a bit more about that when we do pray later on in the service. But now it's a really important moment in the service, where I ask if anyone in the young people or in the children's groups has a birthday or has had a birthday in the last few days. It's all gone very quiet. I know it's Mark's tomorrow, so we can pray for Mark tomorrow, Marky Mark. And I don't quite know for why, but we have got some cake through in the lounge, so I don't know if that's a birthday celebration that someone's brought some cakes in. So you'll need to get out there quickly to have a piece of cake. Let's pray for the children then, and we'll release them to their groups and they can go and join together. Let's pray for Ignite and The Way and Creche. Father, we do thank you for the many voices which are joining with us. And Father, we want to lift them to you. Lord, we don't want a millstone round our neck. We want to love children and protect them and honour having them here in the congregation. It's just so wonderful. So Father, we do thank you for them. And Lord, now we pray for those leaders who interpret your word and bring it into new levels, and Lord, we won't say lower levels, because the questions that the children ask are way above what we could imagine. So Father, be with Ignite 1 and 2, be with The Way 1 and 2, and be with those in Creche 2, that they would have a really good time together. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to have your hand upon these young lives and bless them. Amen. No, don't shush. Never shush a child. No, let them go. We don't know what they're saying. They might be praising the Lord and we could be shushing them. So never shush them. Right, as the children leave us, we're going to remain. It depends. Stand if you would like to, or you can remain seated. And we're going to talk about eyes again. I see your face in every sunrise. please do take your seats again. Hopefully we can bow our heads and remain seated and sing the next song, and then we'll lead into a time of prayer. I will pray for the things that are on our hearts, but don't be afraid if you want to lead us in prayer in that time to lead us in prayer. But we're going to remain seated and kind of bow our heads as much as we can without the words, and just lead into that by singing, "Jesus, be the center." Father God, we know that you are everything to us. Lord, you are the breath that fills our lungs, that fills our sails and moves us along. And we are not to be a meandering ship. We are meant to be fixed and focused on you. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, we know that there are many things that would detract from our attention, things that we've got to deal with during the week, things that we've got to remember. And Lord, we know that we need to remember our family here, and we need to remember our wider family. And Lord, we need to remember our global Christian family. Lord, we know that there are terrible things happening around the world. And Lord, that people are made homeless, they're moved on, they're injured. And Lord, we want to give all those things into your hands. We can't fix them all, Lord, in anyone's power apart from yours. So Lord, we do pray for what is going on around the world. And Lord, we pray for those who are really struggling in our fellowship at the moment. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with the winter time. Lord, those who are struggling with respiratory problems that don't seem to have gone away since COVID. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. Lord, that you would bring healing and that you would bring encouragement and support. And Father, right now we want to say, use our hands. Make us the encouragement. Lord, we say we're family, we say we're fellowship. And we pray that you would open our eyes to see those who need a little bit of that this week. Lord, that in practical ways, we would bring that to them. Make us your hands on this earth. So Father, we do pray too for Nathan, and ask that you would pour your word into him now as he comes to speak to us in a moment. Lord, that would be a message directly from your heart for this place. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to open our eyes and make everything clear that we need to do. Guide us with your vision. Amen. Our next one's a bit of an oldie, but it's a goodie. And it really fits in with today's sermon. And it's a couple of verses, but they're not very long ones. So we'll definitely sing it at least twice. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Let's stand and stretch our legs, stretch your legs again to sing this together.
Well, good morning to each and every one of you. Good to see you all this morning here together worshipping our great God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's worthy of all of our praises. Greetings to all of our visitors. If you're visiting for the first time or second time or third time, you are so welcome, and we certainly pray that you will be blessed today by this service and also by the message that I'm about to preach. Let's just pray at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for worship from our hearts that has been spirit-filled and heartfelt. We thank you for each song reminding us, Lord, of the call and the charge that you give to each and every one of us to follow you and to serve you, to honor you, and to live our lives each day in accordance with your word and your grace. And Lord, I pray now that as we come to hear a word from you, Lord, we don't need to hear a word from Nathan Gordon, but we need to hear a word from you. So would you speak through your servant now? Would you allow me, Lord, to minister effectively what thus saith the Lord? We thank you, Lord, for each and every one who is here and for those who are watching online. We pray, Lord, when it's all said and done, that, Lord, that we would leave knowing more about you, more of your love, more of your grace and your mercy to each and every one of us. So, Lord, we commit this time to you afresh for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing our brand new sermon series entitled Refocus. Can we say refocus together? Refocus. And refocus simply means to focus again. To focus again. Because throughout the year and with the ebbs and flows of everyday life, all of us, at times in our own lives, we can lose focus of the things that really matter the most. Life has a way of creating obstacles and things get in the way and block our view, and we lose sight of what really matters the most. So the call for us this month, we're looking at the theme of refocus. It's a call to refocus our minds, our hearts, on what really matters the most. And today I'm preaching from the subject, who or what is the apple of your eye? Who or what is the apple of your eye? And I want to call your attention this morning to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read starting from verse number 19. And this is from the Sermon on the Mount. And it reads like this, whilst they're getting it on the screen. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus' words to the crowd is simply, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't store up the treasures on earth. But then he goes on to say, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Can we say treasures in heaven? Yes. Where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And here is a key verse I want us to really hone in on this morning. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And I want to come down now to verse number 31. Jesus goes on to say in verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what we shall drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom. Friends, there's a little story of a young man who plucked up the courage and the confidence required to finally approach a young lady who lived a few doors down on his street. And after years of admiring the young lady, years of walking past each other without saying a word, finally the young man was able to introduce himself, and he asked her out on a date. And lo and behold, the young lady accepted the man's invitation, and they arranged to go out on a date. And he arranged to pick up the young lady and take her out on the weekend for dinner. And in preparation for the date, church, the young man ensured that he left nothing to chance. He prepared himself for the date by going shopping with his mates and picking out a lovely new outfit. I mean, in the words of the group, the American group and band Outkast, he was fresh and so clean. And not only did he ensure that his clothing was on point, but he took the time to wash his car and to make sure that the car was spotless inside and out. He took the time to ensure that he was looking good on the eye, and that he was smelling good to the nose, and his car was looking fantastic inside and out. However, after spending so much time preparing himself to look good on the outside from an external point of view, and preparing his car inside and out, ensuring that the car smelt good, the one thing that he did not prepare for, the one thing that he did not spend much time thinking about, was what was he going to say? What would be the topic of conversation on that date? And unfortunately, church, after looking the part and smelling the part, that when the date was over, the young man nervously sent a text to the young lady to say, I hope that you enjoyed our date together, and would you be open to meeting again? And the young lady replied to the man, thanks ever so much for tonight, but I think it's best that we just stay friends. It's what the young people in the younger generations now, they will call, he was put in the friend zone. She friend zoned him. And after being friend zoned, the young man was confused. He said to his friend, mate, I don't understand. My outfit was on point. My shoes, my trainers, they were fresh out the box. My cologne was next level. My car was shiny. It was spotless. Why does she don't want to see me again? The young man's friend said to him, it's all well and good. Looking good on the outside. It's all well and good having nice trainers on your feet. But the greater challenge is, was there an internal connection? Did your personalities gel together? Did you bond on a much more intimate and a personal level? In other words, church, he spent so much time on the external that he failed to connect with what matters the most. And what matters the most is not what's looking good on the outside, but rather it's deeper on what's on the inside. Because in order for a relationship to develop and to grow, there has to be something deeper in value than just the external. Just the external things in life. Clothes and nice shoes and nice cars and fancy cologne and perfume. But what about the values and the connection of the heart? What about the inside? And such was the case in our text this morning, church. Right here on the mountainside in Capernaum, Jesus the Christ pulls his core team aside, his disciples, and then only to realize that a large crowd of people were also interested in what Jesus had to say. So moved with compassion, Jesus begins to teach his core team, to teach his disciples, and inevitably the crowd as well, about what it really means to be connected to the kingdom of God. The situation before us, church, the scene of our text, is one of the greatest sermons ever preached in this world by Jesus himself. And the subject of his sermon this morning, right here in Matthew chapter 6, is simply, who or what is the apple of your eye? Jesus here is seemingly concerned about the lifestyles of those in the crowd. That many, like the man, had become fixated with the external things in life. They'd become fixated with commercial endeavors, climbing the corporate ladders of success, and seeking after riches and wealth and the seeming pursuit of happiness. Because Jesus wanted the crowd to understand that if money and possessions results in true happiness, then what happens when the money and the possessions are taken away? If our joy and happiness is based on what we have, what happens, Mark, when we lose what we have? Does that mean that our joy and our happiness fades away? So Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, he addresses the problem. He gets right to the heart of the matter of the crowd. And the first point that we see here in verses 19, it is number one, here it is, it's the complication. It's what I like to call out of sync priorities. Can we say that together? Out of sync priorities. Yes. And Jesus says to the crowd in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy. And where thieves can break in and they can steal what you have stored up. It's out of sync priorities. Now, some of you remember, and I'm sure some of you still have CD players. I know for some of the young people here that CD players, what is that? But CD players and CD discs, they were great, really good. I used to have, when I was in school, my CD Walkman thing, and used to put it in your back pocket and go to school and wrap the cord for your headphones around into your shirt so you can listen, and this big thing in the back of your pocket with the CD disc, listening to your favorite tunes. But the problem with CD discs, that's why they inevitably developed and got rid of them, is simply, it's all well and good when there's no scratch on the CD, but whenever you scratch the surface of the CD, you have a problem. Because what happens is when you're listening to your favorite music in your CD drive, if the CD disc is scratched, it will begin to skip. And you'll be listening to your favorite song and it will start to skip all over the place. And if it's really scratched, it will stop playing altogether. And sometimes you might be on track 5 and because of the scratches, it will skip to track 10. It's out of sync. It's all over the place. And in like manner, church, Jesus was concerned that the people had invested so much time in their everyday lives with going after riches and wealth, storing up for themselves treasures on earth, that their priorities had begun to spiral out of sync. It was all over the place. And now they had reduced the kingdom of God even beneath their possessions and their wealth. They had elevated the pursuit of stuff that money could buy. They had elevated their careers and their jobs and their possessions even above the kingdom of God. And church, we have to be careful that as we refocus this month and we analyze our priorities in life, that we have to assess if our own individual and collective priorities, even as a family, are out of sync. Have we placed stuff and possessions and the pursuit of trying to accumulate stuff, have we placed that even above the kingdom of God? Jesus says it's a sobering reality that the stuff that we work so hard for, the moths and the vermin will destroy. Because the reality is, everything that money could buy on this earth is subject to decay. It's subject to decay. And Jesus here, he draws the link between our pursuit of earthly possessions, and also he links that pursuit to the contents of our hearts. Because he says, whatever we invest in, our time, our energy, our focus, our finances, he says, whatever we invest in, inevitably our hearts will also be in that place. Because none of us would invest in something on a large scale if our hearts were not motivated and passionate about what we're investing in. We seek after the things that we enjoy, that we desire. I would be very happy to purchase something that with the Liverpool crest on it. Because I'm invested in Liverpool as my team. But if you ask me to invest in a Manchester United memorabilia, then I would have no interest in spending even one penny on something with Manchester United on it. So our hearts are often connected to our treasure. It's connected to the pursuit of what we desire. And we have to be careful, church, that our priorities are out of sync, that what we desire is even more so than our pursuit and our desire for the kingdom of God. I was listening to the radio this week. One of my favorite stations is TalkSport. I love to listen to TalkSport when I'm driving. And there was a presenter talking about life, and he said something that stuck out to me. He said, we work so hard throughout the years to accumulate stuff, houses and cars. And he said, the reality is that in the next 100 years, everything that we own, either someone else will be enjoying it, someone else will be living in our homes, or our cars, they would have been impounded or scrapped in the next 100 years. There'll be no more. Finished. Kaput. But some of us can be so passionate about our cars. Myself included. We love it. We love our stuff. But the reality is, in the next 50, 100 years, where will our nice, fancy cars be? Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy. So my first challenge to you this morning is, this month, I would like to encourage us to take note of the time. Can we say time? Can we say energy?
Energy.
And focus. And say focus, yes, focus. I want us to analyze the energy that we put in, the time that we put in, and our focus on the stuff, the material things of life. How much time do we spend on worrying and thinking and planning on material stuff and on other matters that are not relating to the kingdom of God? And then I'd like us to think and to pray about ways in which we can draw those priorities back into sync. That now the CD can play 1, 2, 3 instead of 1, 5, 7. So that we can be back in sync, that God is first, that He is number one. And then we can focus on the other things. But secondly, not only do we see that the priorities were out of sync, but secondly, we see the resolution. Jesus says, well, what should we do then? If we're not supposed to store up treasures on earth, what is the resolution, Jesus? Well, Jesus says, here it is in verse 22 to 24, refocus your view and attention. Can we say that together? Refocus your view and attention. Jesus says in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. Well, one of the things that I'm sure you, just like me, you can't stand this as well is, you know, if you go to the cinema, or if you go to watch a show at the theater, or if you go to a sports game, a football match or cricket, one of the most uncomfortable things when you're a spectator watching the stage, watching a performance, is having someone sitting in front of you that is either much taller than you are, or they keep standing up. So you are unable to focus your attention on the performance. So you're constantly having to dodge and, oh, And it's uncomfortable because your view of the stage, your view of the performance is distorted. And such is the case here in our text. Because when our view of God is restricted or obscured, then it limits the potential for us to see God's kingdom and his perfect will for our lives. It distorts our spiritual vision because too much stuff is in the way. It's almost like if you was to ask the builders to come in and put some lovely marble flooring in your home. Beautiful marble flooring. And then when they finish the work, it looks beautiful. But then when they leave, you get all the furniture, all the stuff, all the clutter, and you flood the floor with all the mess and stuff. And now when people come to your home, they can't focus on the beautiful floor because there's too much stuff in the way. And such is the case in our lives. Jesus is saying to us this morning, I want to show you a wonderful vision of my kingdom. I want to show you this year a wonderful vision for your lives. But the problem is there's too much stuff in way of your view. You've got to declutter your view so that I can show you a wonderful vision from heaven. And one of the ways that we can reestablish our view of God's kingdom is simply by serving him. Getting involved in kingdom building. Sometimes we can find time for everything else apart from God's kingdom and his church. So I want to challenge us this year and this month to refocus our view on serving. What can I get involved with this year in the church to serve the pursuit of God's kingdom? Can I refocus my time this year to maybe let go of some things on my diary, in my calendar, on my schedule, to say, you know what, I can get rid of that. I can replace that with kingdom building. Because we must seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So what are those things blocking our spiritual view this year? And the challenge for us this morning on this point is simply, where does our ultimate allegiance lie? Jesus makes the comparison with riches, wealth, money. And the reality for us is sometimes we say money is the root of evil, but that's not what the Bible says. Money is not the root of evil, but the text reads, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. We need money in this life. But if we elevate money to a place of love and devotion, even above God, then that's where the evil comes into play. Because even money, as important as it is not more important than God himself. God is more important than money and riches. So what we love, we invest in. What we love, we spend time with. And what we love, we ultimately adore. This month, I challenge each and every one of us to ensure that God is number one, that he is first above everything else in our lives, because he alone is worthy of our worship, worthy to be adored. and worthy of the praise. But finally this morning, and I'll close, we also see not only the resolution to put God first, but we also see the celebration. We are the apple of God's eye. Can we say that together? We are the apple. The challenge for us this morning in my sermon title is, who or what is the apple of our eyes? And so far we've talked about how we have to make sure that our priorities are not out of sync, that we don't put God beneath riches and wealth and possessions, that God is number one. But in closing, here is a wonderful thought for us to take home this morning. Because not only is there a challenge for us to ensure that God is number one, but on the flip side, it's also wonderful to know that from the divine's perspective, from God's perspective, in view of us, his creation, then there is absolutely no doubt in his eyes that we are number one. We are the apple of his eyes. In Psalm chapter 17, verse 8, David, he talks about this. And he says, as a prayer to God, he says in verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. So if David is praying to God saying, keep me as the apple of your eye, then that lets us know that he was the apple of his eye in the first place. And isn't it wonderful to know, church, that even in times in our own lives when we have out of sync priorities, and sometimes we don't always put God first in everything that we do, but in spite of that, God looks at us, his creation, and he says, you are number one. You are my main priority. I love you so much that I sent my son into this world to die on the cross to forgive you and to forgive me of our sins. God loves us so much, church, that not only did he create us, but he also created a plan to save us. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, he watches over us and he fills us with his Spirit. What a mighty God that we serve. There's a story of a little boy who was standing on the banks of the Mississippi River, waving and shouting at the steamboat in his view that was going by. He was making a racket, waving and shouting to get the attention of the steamboat to come to shore. And then a stranger came by and she noticed the young boy waving and shouting to get the attention of the steamboat. And she said, young man, that's foolish. The boat will never come ashore for you. The captain of that boat is far too busy, far too preoccupied with other matters to attend to your noise, to your shouting, and to your desires. But just then, the boat turned and headed for shore. And the little boy grinned and said to the stranger, there's one thing that you don't know. The captain of the boat is my daddy. And because the captain of the boat is my daddy, then I have a relationship with the captain. And my daddy sees me as the apple of his eye. And that lets me know, because he sees me as the apple of his eye, then that means I am a main priority in his life. Church, I say this to let you know this, that we are the apple in God's eye. He loves us so much. And even in times in our own lives, we all do, at times we have out of sync priorities. We live our lives and we get preoccupied with the stuff and the material possessions. But even in spite of that, God's love and his grace is so vast that he says, you are still the apple of my eye. I love you. You are my prized possession. You are cherished. I love you. I love you. And in response to the great love of God, in response to God putting us first by sending his son to die for us, then the challenge for each and every one of us is, in response, are we going to put him first? Are we going to seek first our own kingdoms, our own priorities, our own goals, our own wants, our own desires? Or are we going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And then we have the assurance, then all these other things that we're worrying and stressing and fighting over, they will be added onto us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have demonstrated through your word and in each and every one of our lives that you love us so much, that you care for us in such a special way, and that we are the apple in your eye. We thank you that it's not your will for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. We thank you so much that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And in response to your love, in response to your mercy and grace, then I pray for each and every one of us this morning that in turn we would seek first the kingdom of God, that we would prioritize you as number one in our lives, that we would not allow earthly material possessions, that we would not allow the pursuit of money and riches and climbing the corporate ladders of success in this life to deter us and to distort our view of seeking first the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, even if we have to make some decisions here in the first month of this year, to get rid of some of the baggage, to move our position so that we can see clearly what you are saying to us through your kingdom. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to be your people, ready to do your bidding. So help each and every one of us to respond to your call and to seek first the kingdom of God. And we know, Lord, that when we do that, then we don't have to worry about all the other stuff that preoccupies our minds. But Lord, you will look after us. You will watch over us. And you will provide for your children. So we love you and we bless you now. And help us this week to refocus on the things that matter the most. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As the worship team come back, I'm going to be, just to let you all know, I'm going to be uploading a video this week that talks a little bit more about priorities in life. Talk more about this theme of the apple of our eyes. So please look out this week on Facebook. It's going to be uploaded this week on Wednesday. So you can watch it in your time, whether on Wednesday or any other time. But it's going to be a short video just talking a little bit more about priorities, because I really want us this month, especially on the first month of the year, to really refocus on the things that matter the most, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come. Let's simply come before God this morning. Let's focus our eyes upon Jesus, and we know that he gives us everything, all good things that we need. And let's look at one another as well. This is your family and your fellowship, and we will say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. It's so good to see you here this morning. If you do want to use the prayer corner, then please go there. There will be prayer partners there afterwards, and I know that they're all teed up to go there. And don't forget to stay for teas and coffees. and grab your sermon notes and grab your youth paper as well. So don't miss out. Definitely don't miss out. Namaste.